Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Wow, just like that, I feel like we blinked and it's Pneuma Mission Week 3. And so it's been awesome to hear so many stories and to hear from Pastor Dave and Matt last week. I love George sharing his mission story because I'm going to share a little bit about my mission story today as well. So my first mission trip was with Pastor Dave and I. Well, he was leading and I came along, tagged along. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but literally the day before we left, I had taken a pregnancy test. And I went to the doctor and I found out I was pregnant, 6 weeks pregnant when I went on mission. We had to be real quiet about it as well because we were going on mission with friends. And we said, hey, why don't you come and sleep over the night before? Of course, those of you who know Dave, you know he loves to do barbecue. So he's like, I'll make a barbecue and you guys can just stay. Then we'll all go together in the morning. So we had to be really quiet that we were expecting our second baby. And so I was terrified because we had lost our first baby. A lot of you know that story. And so I was going into mission now having minimal control over where I was going and doing and what I was going to eat. We were traveling in a troopy van. Who knows what a troopy van is? Yes. Okay. So it's like a big van at the back where it's got two seats that go across at the back, and the roads were like really bumpy. So, because we were in Alice Springs, and it's a place I love. It was this mission trip in 2014 to Alice Springs, and it's so dear to me because I learned how to deeply trust God through this pivotal moment in my life. But I also met a lot of people who shared their experiences of trusting God, and they were actually living it out. And so when I heard their stories and I spent time with them, I realized that everything hinges on trust. It was their trust in God that led them to take a step of faith into the calling that they had been entrusted with. Yeah? But it's not just missionaries that have been entrusted to go. At the center of us all being on mission for God is the truth that we have all been entrusted to go. Yes? We have been entrusted with something so precious, more valuable than anything else on the earth, not to keep on the shelf of our lives, but to share this message that has literally changed our lives and our eternity. And so 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21 says this, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Having reconciled us to himself through Jesus, God sends us as messengers and entrusts us with the message of reconciliation. And we're compelled to take this message of reconciliation by what Jesus has done for us. It says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. To implore others on behalf of Jesus to be reconciled to God. See, this word entrust means to formally give a task, responsibility, or a valuable item. But pay attention to this very critical detail in the definition of this word entrust. It is rooted in confidence, relying on that person's judgment, integrity, and ability to handle the matter properly. So it's a weighty thing. It's not something that we can or should be overly casual about. because God has reconciled humanity through Jesus, not counting our sins against us. He made us his ambassadors, trusting us to share the good news with the world. And so this means that we're given a sacred responsibility to declare that forgiveness and peace with God are available through Jesus, that hope, that joy, that healing are found through Jesus and Jesus alone, as we sang this morning. My very first point is very obvious, but it's important that as the church, as the bride of Christ, we are reminded that God has entrusted us all to go. Yep. So over the past 2 weeks of Mission Month, we've been reminded that God has called every one of his followers to live on mission, that everyone can pray, we heard in the video, everyone can give, and everyone can go. You know, there's a beautiful passage that I've always loved. It paints a beautiful picture in Romans 10, 12 to 15. And it says this, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." There's a lot of verbs, action words in this passage. And when we look at the verbs, the actions in this passage, you see the plan of God for the spread of the gospel throughout the world to all people of the earth. It starts with saving sinners and then sending them out. It ends with sending them out. And so there's only one place where this plan breaks down, and it's where the people of God sent to proclaim the gospel of God do not proclaim the gospel. Are you with me? So the mission of God moves forward when ordinary believers, just like you and I, step into their everyday worlds carrying the love, the truth, and the power of Jesus. Jesus has entrusted us all to go, and it looks different for us all. So for some people, like Paul, we saw in the video, may mean traveling to another nation. For others, it may mean reaching a neighbor, encouraging a colleague, discipling a friend, praying for someone in the street or the supermarket, or sharing your testimony with a family member. Every one of us has a mission field. Your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, your sporting club, your family, your friendships are all places where God wants to use us. And today is about asking God, where are you sending me and what does my part look like? You know, for some of us here, we might never go on a mission trip. But I want to emphasize that our local mission field is no less important than going overseas. You know, being a pastor, I'm constantly surrounded by, in this season, by people who believe and are followers of Jesus. And so my mission field looks different in this season. My mission field is a school that my kids go to, my local cafe, my neighbors. And I've had to step out intentionally out of my church bubble, as I call it, to seek opportunities to share the gospel and to pray for people and to love on people. You know, I haven't actually been to on another mission trip after I went to Alice Springs in 2014. My mission field has always been in my workplace. And so at the place I worked before I came on staff here at church, I remember I would pray. I worked in Sunshine and I would have to park like 10 minutes away from the office. So I remember I would pray on the way to the office and I would just ask the Lord for opportunities, an open door where I could share my story and share the gospel. And I think, thinking back, I shared my story and the gospel with every single person I worked with. Now, all of these people were very anti-religion, anti-church, anti-God, but they were open to spirituality. And so over time, my life was on display. My colleagues became curious. And I was able, one of the major things that happened when I was working there was one of my colleagues, who I'm still in touch with now and I love, she went through something really, really traumatic. And I was able to journey with her and pray for her and send her scripture. And that really meant a lot to her. And then I found some would ask for prayer and ask questions because they hadn't seen that I would get defensive or evasive when they would speak of their doubts or ask difficult questions. Some of them even started listening to sermons. I'm not kidding. They were like, hey, what's your church? And they started listening to sermons and worship music because it gave them peace. And it's like what writer Madeleine Lingle said, we draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. And so the emphasis is not on where we are called to go. The emphasis is not on where we are called to go, but the fact that we are all called and entrusted to go. Yes? And so Romans 10 creates a beautiful picture of the church loving, praying, giving, moving their feet for Jesus. And we are all needed to make an impact. And you know, if you picked up a copy of the mission booklet, which I encourage you, if you haven't picked it up, there'll be some available on the way out, you can clearly see the impact of going. And so if we're just taking Children's Fortress Africa, we had Ben Hay with us last November, December, around there, and he shared some amazing testimonies. But you'll see in here that Children's Fortress Africa in Kenya, in the last 12 months, 8 people came to faith. 28 children were rescued off the streets. 186 children received medical care. 18,908 library sessions were logged, and 64 children were supported in formal education. That's an incredible impact. Yeah. Locally, as a location, we have shared the message of Jesus through supporting vulnerable and struggling children, young adults, and families through our Christmas gift giving partnerships. And we partner with Warringah Park School, and we partner with Lavin and Community Integrated Support Services, which is just co-located with us here at the hub in the offices at the front. And so Warringah, we've been partnering with the longest, this school. And the amazing Sam Marnie, who's not here, but she's the wellbeing coordinator at Warringah Park, wrote this, describing the impact of the giving as a location. So I want you to listen. This is what she wrote. When we as a school hand these gifts out to students, responses have been, is this for me? Wow, me, why me? This means so much. Are you sure? Students then tend to tell us what they're planning to buy. Some students have become emotional, have hugged us and cried, thanking us for caring. The most precious thing is to see the students' reactions of when we give them a gift or a voucher. They are so surprised and overwhelmed. Their mouth tends to open and they just can't believe it. Sometimes they can't say anything but thank you. Parents and guardians have called us to thank us because they're struggling financially and this has helped. Parents have also cried when we have told them. Majority of the feedback is a thank you. Families have been overwhelmed by the generosity of giving from Numa West Church to Warringah Park School. So the impact is massive when we go. And we have all been entrusted by God to go. Say to the person next to you, we have been all been entrusted to go. Come on, yes. Not everyone's had their coffee this morning, that's okay. Second point, we're all entrusted by God to go. We're entrusted by God and we're empowered beyond measure. Yes, one of my favorite origin stories of a missionary has to be Joan Roos. She was on the video last week if you were here. And Joan, she was a bank manager here in Melbourne and she served faithfully at Numa Church for many years. And she felt a stirring to go on a mission trip to India. Well, long story short, that stirring eventually turned into Jacob's Well Foundation. When Joan founded Jacob's Well, at the heart of it was to bring clean drinking water, to practical help and the gospel to remote communities. And now 20 years later, more than 100 bore wells have been dug and the Rejoice Centre was founded, a school that was established to give children and families opportunities for a brighter future. And this is what I find amazing, and I think Joan spoke about this in the video last week. 5 of those children have gone through Rejoice School and finished their university degrees. One of them is a pastor. And this is a thing that gives me goosebumps. A lot of those students have returned, and they're now doing the work of digging bore wells. Isn't that incredible? That's an impact. talk about impact. Lives saved through the gospel and in so many practical ways. When ordinary people like Joan, who started as a bank manager, say yes to God through praying, giving, and going, extraordinary things happen. Lives are transformed, communities are changed, and the gospel continues to go forward across the earth. You know, in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You know, just maybe 3 weeks ago, a month ago, we remembered and celebrated the day of Pentecost. And it is so important for us to be reminded that where the day of Pentecost starts, it was never meant to end. It wasn't supposed to be just an event. It was supposed to be the beginning of the rest of every follower's life, living empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered to go. We are equipped to go, even if we don't feel like it. And just as, you know, Pastor Dave spoke on our first week of our mission month, prayer positions us to hear from the Holy Spirit and leads us on where to go. It's we're not deciding where to go. It's the Holy Spirit that is leading us on where to go. And so we have everything we need to go. All we need to do is go. And the last thing that Jesus told us as his followers to do in Matthew 28 is still in effect. He told his disciples, and it's for us as well. It says, "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age.'" He's given us his Holy Spirit, and his promise is he will be with us until the end of the age. The Great Commission doesn't have a use-by date. We don't have a use-by date. We are still on mission. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80, if you're working or retired, if you're a student or a stay-at-home mum, we are all still on mission. And we don't have a use-by date, but we can grow stale in our mission to go by our own hesitation or just outright declining. You know, going back to 2 Corinthians 5, God makes his appeal through us. We are needed. There's no plan B. The Calvary isn't coming. It's us. He makes his appeal through us. And if we don't go forth as his ambassadors, the gospel doesn't go forth. We become a clog instead of a channel of the living water. And when we think of an ambassador, their role is not to say what will win the approval of those listening, but just to faithfully convey the message of the King who sent him. They don't act on their own authority, and an ambassador's personal views or opinions aren't of any significance. Their responsibility is to simply communicate what they have been entrusted to deliver. Yes? However, an ambassador is more than just a courier. They serve as the visible representation of the King. They carry the dignity, the honor, the reputation of their kingdom wherever they go. And so we'll never know what God will do with our yes in our everyday sharing of the gospel and our discipleship as ambassadors of the gospel. You know, we might not even see what happens next. But in the ripple effect of us going, it can affect entire families, entire nations. And so the mission of God moves forward when ordinary believers like you and I step into their everyday worlds carrying the love, truth, and power of Jesus, being ambassadors of the truth. So we are all entrusted to go. We are entrusted by God and empowered beyond measure. And when we understand and catch the revelation that we're entrusted to go, we create margin for mission. About a month ago, my kids and I, and they're 9 and 11 at the moment, we were on our way to church, and we saw a man. We were driving through the centre of Laverton, through this as you get on off the freeway. And there was a man who's usually there, and he was holding up a sign that he needed help. And so both my kids were so upset that they didn't have any money on them. And so I didn't have any money on me either in the age of credit cards. I don't know, many of us carry money. But I was like, hey, why don't we just pray for him? So they prayed for him. But then this past Sunday and yesterday, we came in for Alpha Holy Spirit Day as well. So we've seen him twice. And Lexi asked me to stop because she had some money that she had been saving in her wallet to give him. And she also said, I've got some money to give to the man on the street and I've got some money to give to Numa Kids for the offering, which goes to Children's Fortress Africa, yeah? And so Lexi, Judah and I, last Sunday, we made the decision, okay, we're going to have money with us on a Sunday morning just in case we see him or someone again. And so in this beautiful childlike way, they are creating margin for mission, yeah? For them, this is their mission field. This is their community. And so they are convicting me about how much margin I'm making for mission. And what I mean by margin is reserving intentional space, yes? So when we create margin for mission with our time, it's our ability to be interrupted. You know, last week especially, I was like, come on, Lexi, hurry up, give me the money because I'm holding up traffic because you shouldn't just stop there unless there's a pedestrian crossing. But, you know, it's an interruption sometimes. Time is our most precious commodity because we never get our time back. But every minute is a one-off investment if you think about it that way. You know, are we investing any time to living on mission? You know, how about if we created margin with our time? How about if we were okay with slowing down and being present to what and who the Holy Spirit is leading us to? You know, I feel like a lot of time, hurry is that thing that stops us from making margin for mission with our time. We're always busy. We're always in a hurry. So could we this morning create margin for mission with our time? We create margin for mission with prayer. You know, do we invest any time to pray about where God is leading us today? Do we pray for opportunities and open doors to share our story and the gospel? Do we create space to pray for our missionaries and their prayer requests that are found in here, actually? So you can take that home and do that. You know, in terms of time and prayer, these things overlap, don't they? And so what if we embrace the awkwardness of walking up to someone and asking if we can pray for them as the Holy Spirit is prompting us? You know, when Dave and I were before Dave came on staff, we were life group leaders and we had this hashtag embrace the awkward, because that's what life group, leading a life group and inviting new people in your life group felt like sometimes. You had to push past a certain awkwardness. And I have experienced that. Has anyone experienced that when they walk to someone on the street? Yeah. And there's a certain barrier you have to push past and go, okay, I'm going to embrace this because I feel like the Lord is leading me to this person. Amazing things happen when we do that, when we create margin for mission with our time and our prayer. We also create margin for mission with our resources and our finance. You know, one of the things that we don't see preached a lot, but in Luke 8, 1 to 3, it tells us this. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, provided for them out of their means. So these women and many others made margin for mission, for the mission of Jesus and his disciples. You know, I find this passage of scripture tells us so much just by the first two women mentioned, which is Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the wife of Chuza. Joanna was of a higher social and financial status. Mary is believed to be of a lower financial and social status. And many others are unnamed. We don't know much about Susanna, who is mentioned, but it tells us that everyone can play a part in giving, no matter our social or our financial status. Yeah, you with me? You know, one of my leaders, maybe like 10 years ago, she was speaking about finances, and she said something that has always stuck with me since that day. And she said that she always creates margin for generosity. Her and her husband would integrate it into their budget. So they would make budget to be generous. And I think that's such a beautiful way to live, isn't it? That you have funds available just to be freely generous. And how we choose to spend our money and how we engage with those around us, it reveals our priorities. And so just as Matt shared last week in his sermon speaking to the story of the widow's offering in Mark 12, a lot of us know that story. If you don't, you can read Mark 12, that God measures giving differently to us. You know, I think we go, oh, more is more and less is less. But it's got nothing to do with the amount. It's not about the amount, but as Christine was saying in her communion this morning, it's about our heart posture. And my daughter, when she gave the man a gold coin, it's just a gold coin, but she gave it with the most beautiful heart posture. She literally said, "Stop the car," right there in the middle of the street, which is a little bit dangerous, but no one was coming up behind us. It just shows us the beautiful heart posture of a child to give. Creating financial margin for mission is living with a decision to measure money in light of eternity. And so we just don't know what will come out of it. But I can assure you, God will multiply and do amazing things through our giving, even if it is a gold coin. If that's all we can give, if we're giving it with such a beautiful heart posture, God will multiply it. And I've seen it happen. God do incredible things with our giving. I'm going to invite the worship team to come.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life. And I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening